This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. You know that indicator on your cell phone, the one that tells you the percentage of battery life you have left? I finally had to turn mine off because it was making me crazy with all its constant changes, which says a little bit about me and a little bit about how much we depend on batteries now. Phones and laptops, Boeing Dreamliners. So we figured this was a good time for some Battery 101 with Scott Tong at the Sustainability Desk.
In our mobile lives today, we forget all the progress in the battery kitchen that got us here. Seth Fletcher at Popular Science is the author of Bottled Lightning.
For most of the 20th century, battery science progressed really slowly. In part, that was because it was kind of a backwater.
And the science is really hard, especially the chemistry of batteries.
They almost drove Thomas Edison crazy. He spent about a decade trying to develop a new type of battery, which he ultimately did.
Fletcher says research took off in the 1960s and 70s. Smog and traffic jammed L.A., and the oil shocks for the whole country made it a priority to get us off petroleum. Several companies tested lithium. It's light, packs lots of energy, but it isn't always stable.
After the ExxonMobil company had blown up a couple of labs, they decided to get out of the energy business.
That's battery pioneer John Goodenough at the University of Texas. Now 90 years old, he gets the National Medal of Science tomorrow at the White House. His breakthrough was making an essential piece of the lithium-ion battery, the stable electrode.
And that gave you the energy density that you needed to have a handheld device, and that led to the wireless revolution.
Now, here's the funny thing. Henry Ford owned a car. Edison owned a light bulb. John Goodenough?
I don't have an iPhone. I'm an old-fashioned conservative gentleman who finds that I get along perfectly well with the last century's technology.
He doesn't like phone calls. Another paradox, Goodenough's invention isn't always for the good.
You take the cell telephone. Well, it can be used to detonate a roadside bomb from the hillside. It may be in the hands of evil people.
Since its breakthrough, lithium-ion batteries have seen incremental improvements. There is a limit to the architecture, though. To make electric cars mainstream or store lots of wind energy, it'll take another leap forward.
And then I'm going to do something that every chemistry teacher in America will tell you not to do.
Steven Visco is working on that. He runs battery startup Poly Plus in Berkeley, California. His cocktail combines lithium and water. Now, normally,
it's typically a spark, and that ignites the hydrogen, and you get a little bit of a Hindenburg there. I mean, it's a lot of excitement.
Visco has a way to de-Hindenburg it and pack more energy into a little space. It may take a decade to commercialize, but think of the payoff.
Once you get those products to market, they tend to never go away. And that's precisely why when you open the hood of your car, you see a lead-acid battery. Well, it's 150 years old.
Now, the nature of energy is each step forward tends to come with a trade-off. James Bellingham studies batteries at the Monterey Bay Aquarium Research Institute.
Every time you move the energy density up, you know, you bring with that some element of risk. And just think about gasoline. I mean, how many times in a movie a car crashes and there's a little fire and everyone runs away from the car because they're afraid the gasoline will blow up? Batteries can have their bad days also.
The battery chase goes on, though. And at 90, John Goodenough is still in the game. Why? For the reason he joined it decades ago, to graduate us from fossil fuels.
Otherwise, we have Easter Island. We'll end up with a bunch of stones on the island that says man once lived here, but they used up everything that was there, then they killed one another for whatever was left until there was nothing left but stones.
In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.